You're about to listen to the Reverend Tolu Alogo Agboola, who is the set man of His Worship Christian Network Global, and has been given the Word of Truth mandate amongst other mandates in order to teach the church and raise true worshipers. Now, Reverend Tolu Alogo Agboola.
We bless you, Father. So great is thy faithfulness. Romans chapter 10. O God, my Father, for there is no shadow of turning with thee, for thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. And as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. In 2 minutes, can we bless the Lord for His faithfulness? It's a prayer in praise and thanksgiving for the one whose faithfulness has summoned us to ministry. The Bible says, faithful is he that calleth thee, who also will do it. Our call is by faith, is in faithfulness. Our fulfillment will also be by an act of divine faithfulness. And we appreciate you. Oh, we appreciate you. Let him hear your cry in thanksgiving. He is faithful. He is faithful. There will be no ground for God to invite us unto a life of faithfulness if he has not demonstrated faithfulness. Church, as a matter of fact, it's the faithfulness of God that produces faithful men. Thy needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So, Father, we proceed. Because of the administrations of your faithfulness, and we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Romans chapter 10, and I want to do a long reading because this second segment may be shorter before we close on the third one. I'll read from verse 1 to 17. So it's a long reading, but stay with me. Let me read from my Bible so that I don't begin to lift up my eyes for too long. Romans chapter, Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. I'm just going to drop instructions as we go, so you need to be attentive. This was how Paul began this 10th chapter of his epistle to the Roman church. It was with a heart desire and prayer. It gives us the entry protocols of a faithful teacher, that your labors begin with desire and your desires bat prayer. And the prayer is that, can we read together? That they might be saved. So the pantings of the heart of the faithful teacher of God's word is not that people may be informed, because to the teacher, information is a means. It is not an end. Are you getting that? The end of information is supposed to be the event and the experience of salvation. I've been using those two words in the last few weeks, that there is an event of salvation when a man approaches to an altar anywhere. Today, I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. That is the event of salvation. But the event of salvation is supposed to open up a man to the experience of salvation, a life lived in the reality of new birth. Are you with me? So it was this twofold reality that Paul was seeking to have God occasion over the people. Are you with me? Okay. For I bear them record that they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So we are not teaching because we feel that people are outrightly not showing signs that they are even connected to God. But there is a corrective, there is a recovery dimension of teaching, there is a further instructional dimension of teaching, that based on the things you know, we just want you to, there is an aligning dimension of ministry, that we know you have started the journey, but we want you to now run well. Are you with me? So Paul's audience had zeal. They were willing to do anything that needed to be done, but the Bible said it was not according to knowledge. Let's run fast. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's clear enough. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. What that means is that Christ is the perfection as regards the righteousness component of the law. That if a man wants to be approved of God, Christ is the perfection to everyone that believeth. Now, can you, if you check your scripture, you'll find out that the Bible does not say for or to everyone that believe. What does your Bible read? Okay. John 3:16. We want to look for the belief component of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever... Did you see belief there? Now, anybody, what's the difference between believe and believeth? Do you know? Ken, what's your name again? Toluwanimi. So what do they call you? Toluwan. Okay. I'll try to know everybody's name. So, this is Sukomi. What's your name? Femi. What level are you? What are you studying? Physiology. Jesu. Feromi. So what do they call you? Is it Jesu? It's Feromi. What level are you? What are you studying? Human anatomy. Okay, these are our college people. So I'll be going little by little like that. Toluwan. Ferum. Sukon. Okay, so I'll be going gradually. I know their names here. Okay. So you see, what's the difference between the word believe and believeth? Anybody? Okay. You're saying something. Believeth is present continuous. Believe is present. That's why if you claim once saved, always saved, this verse disqualifies your teaching. Because if you confess now, you are saved. You are not always saved until you understand that belief is not an action. It's a noun. Believe is an action. Believe is a verb. Believeth is a noun. It's a state of existence. It's not an action. Are you with me? So, whosoever believeth, it means you started by belief. But now, believing has become your lifestyle. It is present, continuous. That's what makes you saved. Are you with me? Just like we have it here, we also have it in our portion. And he's speaking about the same event. He says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It means everybody that has come into the state of believing. It's what they do every day. It means you are saved as you are connected. When you disconnect, you may have believed, but you have fouled what we call believeth. So you will be cut off. Okay. Verse 5. For Moses describeth. It means Moses didn't do a one-off description. He sustained description. Describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Let's run. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. I'm reading this wide because I want to give us a picture of Paul's progression. What did he start with? A desire and a prayer. And then he came into the issue of righteousness. And now he begins to walk the issue of righteousness. So as a good teacher, as a faithful teacher, you don't come up with a concept that you are not explaining. Are you with me? Good. So, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. So he has shown us two kinds of righteousness. He has taken sides with the one that he wants us to have. And is now giving us the voice of this righteousness. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. I want to reiterate what I said earlier, that Paul's labor into understanding was strong. If you read verse 6, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven. What do you see after that? A bracket. Why did he put in the bracket? Because Paul is saying, you may not understand what I'm saying, but this is the explanation right there and there. Are you with me? You know why he could understand that? I'll bring this my lines later. It's because Paul was listening to himself. Are you with me? A faithful teacher of the word must be listening to himself. If you are listening to what you are saying, you will know when you sound confusing. The average person who teaches the Bible does not listen to himself. I'm not saying after. I mean, as I'm speaking every word now, it is listening to yourself that will make you say to people, see, what I mean is. Because you don't want to leave them with any loose ends. To go and think that this is what you meant when you did not mean that thing. So Paul was opening in parentheses extra things. It was as though he was, you know, that expression is in the Bible version you call the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible gives labels around synonyms. Am I right? Yes. Even though the synonyms still sometimes is not equal to Revelation, but at least if the English is too big, it will simplify it. You know, and that's what we felt that the Message and the Passion Bible would do. But I want to, on personal recommendation, don't start your study from those two translations. Don't start your study. Because they are supposed to be commentaries that have now become Bible versions. The way those men understood the original writings was what they read. So that you are not reading the comments, or you are not preaching comments from commentaries. I'm not saying they are wrong, but they have been simplified. And in some of the verses, they were simplified away from revelation. So read the King James Bible. Is I'm not marketing King James, so I'm just saying that many translations come in plain language, so that if you understand the English and you don't understand the meaning, it is in order, because it is a sealed book. The language of scriptures does not reveal the intent of scriptures. You will rest on the Holy Ghost. Don't use language to unlock a spiritual writing. Are you with me? Well, I won't say more than that, because I know now preachers have, can you give me the Passion Translation? And then he makes it so simple and everybody screams. Guard your heart. Yoruba say that there is no shortcut, Abijua, on the palm tree. It's either you go straight or straight. God will help us. But they are good. That when you have studied, you want to, okay. But don't replace the interpretation or the revelation of God's word with grammatical or semantic interpretations. All right. So, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? Because it tells us what not to say. What saith it? The word is nigh thee. The word nigh means close. The word is close to thee. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So you can rewrite verse 8 by saying, what saith it? The word of faith is close to thee. The word of faith is in thy mouth. The word of faith is in thy heart. The quickening of the word of faith in your heart, the quickening of the word of faith to your mouth, is by a spirit. And that spirit is referred to as the spirit of faith. What it means is that the concept of faith as administered by the Spirit is in your heart. And because the concept is in your heart, the utterance of faith, which was derived from the concept of faith, is in your mouth. You don't need to learn particular lines. If it gains entry into your heart, it will bring forth utterance. What verse of scripture is that? Out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth will speak. So it's the assignment of the spirit of faith, which is the spirit of this new kind of righteousness. If thou shalt confess. Now it's telling us what it sounds like. That's this word of faith. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. So what the spirit of faith at basic principles makes you say is that Jesus is Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So it makes you say Jesus is Lord with your mouth, and it helps you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. These things are not where I'm going. That's why I'm rushing over them. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, let's become more attentive. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So the one who wants to get around future shame must continue to believe. Are you with me? Okay. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the Lord, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. The word rich there is that God is abundant unto them. He's expressive unto them. He does not communicate restraint when a man calls upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now it begins the questions that interest me. How then shall they call on him? Paul's original theme was a desire and a prayer that his people, Israel, will be saved. Paul has listed the protocol of entering into this distribution that we call salvation. That it is a confession. No, it is one, taking sides with a righteousness that has found perfection in Christ. And that righteousness expressed in our world begins with an utterance and a heart condition. It is stewarded by a spirit. And what that spirit communicates is faith to speak and faith to believe. Amen. Good. So Paul says, now this protocol works with anybody. I'm trying to show you the progression in understanding. Whether you are Greek or you are Jew, it works with everybody. The reason why it works is that there is a common back end. The common back end is that God is rich to anyone that calls upon him. So the Bible says, whosoever calls upon him will be saved. Are you with me? But now he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That's a verb in past tense and not this present continuous thing, not in now. If they have not come into the event of believing, how will they be saved? So Paul's desire, you may have desire as a minister. Are you with me? You may pray your desire as a teacher. That's what we're talking about now. A faithful teacher. You begin with desire, you pray. But if the people do not get to a place of believing, your labors will not be fulfilled. So maybe Kenny has a ministry to ladies. If you have ladies ministry. I'm just saying. Okay, you may end up getting to know. Maybe you have a ministry to young ladies. Young ladies who are laboring to stand in the midst of corruption. That's your desire. So as you are going to minister to them, you ask the Lord and say, Lord, please, today help these young ladies. Let them stand. That's the end of your labor. But you see, they will not stand if there is no labor to bring them to the place of believing that they can stand. So the labors of a teacher is by utterance and the energies of the Spirit to produce believing that will bring an experience. Are you with me? So the next time you teach, or the last time you taught, can you go back to your notes? Or if it was recorded, you go back to the recording, trying to check if you sounded convincing enough for them to believe. If you didn't sound convincing enough, you wasted their time. How did Paul produce conviction? By systematic release of information. A will be followed by B, by C, by D, by E, by F. Don't go from A and go to what? Okay, some people say it's double V. In our own school, they taught us double U. Am I right? Is it V they taught? It's U. Okay. Some schools they taught them double V. And then you say double U. X, Y, and we also have issues with that last one. In our own school, they taught us Z. Why are they teaching your own school? Z. What's your name, man? Father Kem. Good. What did they teach in your own class? Z. What's your name again? Toluwa. Toluwa Shen. Your own is Toluwa Ni. Toluwa Ni Mi. Toluwa Shen. There are plenty to lose in this house. Okay, so in your school they taught you Z. Raise your hand. I think in my wife's school too, Abby. Is Z they told me. So he says Z for zebra. In our own school is zebra, they taught us zebra. So Z. Okay. So whether it's Z or Z, to jump like that, the audience generally claps for anybody. Even a confusionist attracts an applause. You need to ask them what they are clapping for. You know, there are things that people do and people say, ah, okpe, oshe. And then there are things that people do and they say, oshe. You know, it's the same oshe, but it's like confusionist. Somebody was sincere. And you see, In teaching, sincerity is needed, but it's not enough. We have proven that people can sincerely teach in error. It's a sincere person, but it's error. Because you can be sincerely right or sincerely wrong. So this young man was, average man, older than us, so he's not a young man. He was trying to teach us on, he was trying to emphasize a truth, the truth of praise. And it's great. So in trying to emphasize praise, he decided to make praise look like the greatest labor of a believer, which is another pitfall in teaching ministry. It is to quench a truth because you want to magnify another one. Are you with me? Accurate teaching is a byproduct of balance. Have you heard people say that Paul and Silas, when they prayed and God did not answer, they now praised him? Are you with me? And that, so they say that when you have prayed and prayer is not working, you should try praise. It's not doctrine. Because you will need to produce some other instances when that protocol was carried out. You cannot build doctrine from one event. You cannot. It is by the mouth of two or more witnesses that every truth is established. That's why when we saw that one, I went to John 3:16 to produce another witness. Are you with me? Praise is not a substitute for prayer. Are you with me? So this is what the person taught us. That when you praise God, that in praise, you speak, you bring forth your conviction about who God is. Who believes that? I believe it. You are the mighty God. Thank you, sir. The great I am. Is that not praise? Hallelujah. It's okay. That's praise. So what you are bringing forth is your consciousness of God, and in their own, their statements of faith. I am sure that I like that song. So when you finish, hallelujah, then we will now have, you are, that means the conviction is strong. When you hear people say, you are the man, it means, we have said it. Now, by repetition, we are strengthening our position. And the way people used to sing that second, you are, is more emphatic. Abi, even those who missed the first one, we scream the second. You are the mighty God. It's good. So it means that that song in praise, you are making statements of faith. But to now say that, you see, praise, anything that praise can do, faith can do. What you are saying is that praise is a direct substitute for faith. So I was sitting with a beloved daughter in the faith, and I said to her, I think that was Lighton some years ago, and I said, don't believe that thing. I don't have a problem with the preacher. He's preaching well, but this thing that he said, as he hurt, let's cancel it. Don't write this one your note. I said, because my own Bible says that ye are saved by grace through faith. Find out if you will join the body of Christ by singing. God, you are my father. You are my father. There's a song like that. My father, my father. Call him father from now till thy kingdom come. If you do not confess the lordship of Jesus, you are not part of the commonwealth of God, and there are things that will elude your life. Are you with me? Because they are not substitute. You don't teach people that you have to study the word, you have to study the word, all this prayer. All of us made that mistake, but some of the things I'm saying are things that I've repented from. Because in trying to bring people beyond what they have found, before he was teaching, nobody was praying. So in trying to pray for a season, we advertise the strength of prayer, but we must do it with regulation. Now what we have produced is many praying men and the teachers have gone to glory. And that's why I'm doing this thing. Because I found out that one of the deficiencies of current apostolic ministry in Nigeria is many praying men, few teachers of the word. In AWCM, for example, virtually everybody can pray, but it's not everybody that can teach. It means if a scattering happens, when some people arrive, they will not be able to teach the word of God. And praying alone, that's a balanced statement, does not produce a man of God. We will give ourselves to the ministry of and prayer and the word. That's the balance of a ministry. When I got to Ibadan, one of the things that my host said, you know, I don't like all that hype, because I'm going to talk about it too. Because you can be guilty of hype when you come to the stage. And if you go beyond your boundaries, you will switch off the spirit and you become a struggling minister. I need to teach all those things. So he said, one of the things that drew him to me, because that was the second time we're meeting. I didn't even know he had my number. He just saw me in a conference preaching. And when he had his own, he said, this guy must come to reckon or to reconcile. The strength of prayer and the ability to teach is uncommon to combine the two. But that is what God is stewarding. That we are not glorying in the ability to teach while we are deficient in the reality of prayer. Are you with me? What God wants is a rounded minister. That, what's your name, my dear? Esther. That we can drop you in a city and be sure that all of the facets of church life can be manifested there. Do you sing? Not at all. Not even under the shower. Because normally everybody sings under the shower. Well, maybe she's saying her singing does not qualify for church singing. But I'm saying that all of us should be able to do something at our level. Sing a little, pray, and then teach the word. You don't need to be called into the office of the teacher before you start teaching. And that is because of the next portion of scripture that we'll go to. But let's finish up this. The Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So there's a labor into believing. And the Bible says, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So the teaching ministry is not just a communication of what, it is a communication of who. Somebody say, what and who? It means as we are marketing realities that people will come into, we must tie the realities with the one who occasions the realities. The face of Christ must be very visible in the ministry of a faithful teacher. Because they are not going, the call that makes people saved does not market essentially what. What we market is who. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So when we have marketed what, we tie it to a man, because it is belief in a man, the man Jesus, that opens us up to reality. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Now, how shall they hear without a preacher? And for the purposes of this service, the preacher is one who brings forth God's counsel, either by declaration or by teaching. It means that the teacher becomes a necessary functionary. Not in the day that God wants to inform his people, but in the day that he wants more to believe. Are you with me? Your assignment is tied to producing people who are believed, and in believing, they become saved. All right, next verse. We're almost there. And how shall they preach? And for the purposes of this class, how shall they teach except they be sent? So there is a tarrying until a sending. Else you will miss one of the badges in the day that you are preaching. What badge is that? The badge of the, you know, which minister? The badge of the able minister. So your words will fall flat because you are not preaching without, or you are preaching without empowerment, without endowment. Okay, it's good that you are following. So how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful at the feet of them that preach the gospel, or teach the gospel of peace, as one of the kinds of gospels, the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. Next verse. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? The reason why they did not obey the gospel is that they did not believe. And we have found out that the reason for their unbelief may be that there is no teacher to bring the counsel to them, or that the teacher did not totally communicate what God had in mind. He was busy advertising reality and not bringing them back to the person who occasions reality. So impartial communication will not occasion believing. No communication will not occasion believing. So it is better not to preach at all if you not do it well, because you will be guilty of bringing a false expectation that if you listen to me, your life, you know how we say that thing? Say, I believe that if you listen to me, your life will change. Or when you go for meetings, that's how they introduce people. Say, if you listen to this man of God, your life will change. Many people listened and they began to wonder, what's the change? Because there was no labor until that point. So sometimes in the middle of the sermon, we sing a song so that people can move into a region of higher understanding. Sometimes we make them pray so that in prayers, new layers can be taken off. As the teacher is removing it, in their minds, veils are also being broken. All to just make sure that he finds penetration. Send us help, O God. Verse 17, so that we close here. And then I'll just say a few things that we go to the last part, which will be my observations. So then, faith cometh how? And hearing by. So this one who is sent, he's sent with the word of God. A word that comes out from God. He's not sent with societal stories. He's not sent with societal experiences. He's sent with the word of God. So in all that you do as a teacher, please teach the word of God. Teach the word of God. We got here in the body of Christ because we began to tend towards inspirational preaching instead of revelational preaching. Revelational preaching suggests that you start with the Bible. And as you sit down, the Bible becomes uncovered, like that onion we spoke about. And so there is a basis for your conviction, and there is a basis for people's conviction. Inspirational teaching, not exactly, but the expression we have in Nigeria, happens more in praying ministries. A man prays. And out of prayer, a line drops in his heart. And then he begins to preach. It is not wrong, but it is more error prone, especially where the gift of the discernment of spirits is absent. Because what it means is whatever crosses your mind is what you say. Are you with me? It has not been tried. So you are more prone to errors, because if a strange spirit brings a concept, you will embrace it and teach it. And people, the audience, many times, remember what I said, compassion. The audience many times does not have the tools to separate between the speakings of a man, the speakings of God, and the speakings of a strange spirit. So to them, anything that comes from the altar is what they believe. So a certain man was teaching and said, if you marry somebody from, is he Urobo, he said, or one of those tribes. He said, if you marry as a woman, if your husband is sleeping around, just look one side. He said, because he's a pastor in a sermon, because every Urobo man, including me, we like women. Now, if he was hearing himself, will he say that kind of thing? He will remember that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and there are no robo Christians. Are you with me? A Christian is a Christian. There's no American Christian. He forgot. And it's because many times whatever crosses the mind is what we say. If you stay too long as an inspirational preacher, and then you have been gifted a large audience, the enemy will move close to you and poison your heart, because the word of God is not just a source from which we minister, it's a boundary for our ministry, it's a wall. Are you with me? So stay with scriptures. It's not wrong to be taking your verses one by one and be pushing them if that's your comfort zone, or you read over a few verses. But in the Orthodox, how, and you see, help us Jesus, the reason why church life survived this far is because the Orthodox ministries found something. Now we have come as the charismatic or the Pentecostal movement, we have totally walked away from what gave sustenance to the church life, and we think that with this model we will survive. The Orthodox churches used to have what they call a Bible reading. Are you with me? They read long verses. You may need, as a Pentecostal minister, you may also need to go and study the progressions of an Orthodox service, so that the Bible reading comes before the choir ministration. Am I right? So everybody has received the word of God. The choir is not supposed to be singing and dancing anything. In the Orthodox, the choir does not most times sing to bring an atmosphere, which is supposed to be the assignment. They preach the sermon. So Yoruba church, they say wasu ninu orin. So maybe the pastor wants to preach the verse of scripture is watch and pray. What will be their line in Yoruba? Kiesara. That's what they will teach. But the ministry of the minstrel is to provide an atmosphere for that word that you have just heard to begin to flesh out. Is to even bring revelation to the minister. And when the minister comes, he says, okay, according to what we read in the Bible. Now, we don't do that again, but it is not wrong to read scriptures. Some of our fathers still do. If you listen to Pastor W.F. Kumi, for example, he can wear you out with verses. This kind of long reading, he is a W.F. Kumi eating. He can read 15 verses. I've heard him recently read 30 verses. And his sermon was the 30 verses. He was going. And when you think he has finished that thought, he will go back again so that you can remember. They have mastered those badges. Listen to the men who kept church life around. Don't just stay around people who have been there for 2 years, whose protocols cannot keep us running. Are you with me? The Bible is key. No human being is intelligent enough to teach the dimensions of God or teach the desires of God without the Bible. Don't waste people's time. Stay with scriptures. It's your safest zone. Even for those who are so busy, maybe doctor and all the medicine, and you need to teach, I'm saying that if you don't have notes, if you have a robust prayer life and you have a robust fellowship time with the Holy Spirit, if you appear on the plane to teach and you have a verse of scripture, you are still safe. Just read the verse. As you are reading, if you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit that sponsors communication, as you are reading, you'll be stopping them because he'll be speaking to you. But you are safe because you are drawing from a tested text, not anything that strays in your mind. Amen. So that was Paul's progression. A man needs to be sent, and is sent by the word, so that when people hear, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. The man needs to be sent, because without a sent man there will be no believing, and without the ministry of the sent man which is his teaching ministry or his preaching ministry, no one will believe unto salvation. So that area is key. Let me just lay out a few things here. I think maybe one scripture, so that we can balance what I just said. I'll go to what we call the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is in Matthew chapter 28. Sorry, it's not a regular session, so I'm rounding up already. Matthew 28, give me from verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. The word there is exousia, so it's all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What Jesus was doing in verse 18 was applying the badge of the able minister. He was authorizing them. So every true teacher of scriptures is a chartered teacher. You are certified to teach. Are you with me? You are certified. If that certification is not there, please don't teach anybody. You can gist, but don't claim, let me teach you something. Because when you say, let me teach you something, the mind is more open to what you want to bring. And if it's not something that you have proven, you will waste people's journey in God. Some people have aborted their journey when they started listening to some people. Who is a living witness here? There were pushes you were making into God until you started hearing from some people. And when God wants to help you, he shows you that it's in this period of hearing that you began to derail. So you shut down. Please, the teaching ministry is not an end. Even the believing unto salvation that it produces is not an end, though. Because it is ministry. The end is an appraisal in God. Have I shared the theme here for ministers' conference in next year? Oh, I've not shared it. The theme for next year is ministry with eternity in view. We want to bring ministers to the understanding that ministry is not an end. One day, you will stand before Jesus. And every word that I'm bringing forth now, I will need to defend them. So don't instruct what you can't defend before the Christ. We are forgotten. We think clap and a car reward, a piece of land reward, a monetary reward is the end of our call. No, no, no. I'm still trusting God for a speaker. In my heart, pray for me. In my heart, it should be Apostle Gideon Oduma. In my heart. I've spoken to Papa, he said he will chip it in. I've spoken to Reverend Austin, he will chip it in. But I'm trusting that he comes. Or maybe a prophet, like Prophet Ajay, who has seen by visions what the judgment will look like. We need a feedback to make people know that there are things to be careful about when we get there. So I'm trusting God that we will have able hands for that meeting. So be praying along with me. Whatever it will cost us, let ministers recover their original. So that, because somebody had a birthday in the nation, a young lady who does ministry in the nation celebrated her birthday last year, or I think it was this year or last year. I won't mention her name because I honor what she's doing. I met her 4 years ago when she just started, somewhere around here. And we had the privilege of speaking for about 1 hour 30 minutes because I was telling her, what is this labor about? And she gave me a blueprint of how God pulled her out of where she was and brought her into that labor. So in my heart, I still remember the blueprint. That lady has become popular. I mean very popular. Very, very. She's younger than us. She's about the most popular female minister. She runs the largest network of young ladies in this nation in 4 different kinds of ministries. She has multiple ministries. But there is nothing that she's doing now that is captured in the originals that she told me that Jesus sent her back to Nigeria to do. Nothing! And when she called last year and said, sir, pray for me, I said, have you reread your script? People are clapping for you. You are holding big meetings. You know there's nothing you are doing that God will reward. I was called to speak hard. So I started chasing the person. I still need to talk to you. What they prefer me saying is, you know, God is opening a new gate of ministry for you. And I say those ones too. But you can labor for 50 years outside your book. Especially if you have become a slave of what trends. Well, if you are a trending teacher too, you get into trouble. Because it means you begin to teach subjects that you don't know. Because everybody's preaching outpouring. You to carry water and you pour it and say this is outpouring. May God help you. Stay your course. Sometimes when I jump into Yoruba, it's not because I think we don't understand, but I think that our language as Yorubas anyway gives us a lot more depth of understanding. Can I say this in Yoruba? Olorun o pe wa papo. Olorun o pe wa papo. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? God didn't call us together. Every man was called as one man. It means every man will be judged as one man. Are there models to what you do? Do I preach like Apostle Arome? Somebody challenged me 2 years ago. He said, of all Papa's sons, you are the only one that preaches differently. If you see Papa, he will tell you he's proud of what I do. The last time we spoke of the apostolic ministry, what he said to me, he said, Tolu, this your apostolic expression is unique and is beautiful. That's what he said to me. Because when a child is born, he looks like everybody. When he begins to grow, he looks like his father. Ultimately, he looks like himself. You can't take away that this is still Arome Osai, but it's Arome Osai with a unique expression because I was called alone. That was what the Bible said about Abraham. He said, look unto your father Abraham. When I called him how? Alone. Every teacher must find their books and gain mastery of what they were told to teach. If you were sent to be a specialist in faith, among the many other things that you teach, stay there. Even if power becomes the new emphasis, stay there. You will be judged on that lane. Many people are teaching what they don't know because they were not sent to teach it. Bishop Oyedepo teaches many things, but his emphasis from God is what? Faith. And he has stayed there. Right now, if you go back and check church age, you will find out that there were seasonal dispensations and there were preachers that rose in those dispensations. You had the voice of healing people, you had the word of faith people. And many of those who rose were word of faith teachers. What's the name of this dispensation? Oh yeah, I'm listening. Lamde, you have gone to Bible school. What's the name of this dispensation? Pastor is saying something. I'm listening to you. Of grace. You mean that you can have faith without grace? The dispensation of grace is not an emphasis. Even voice of healing. Can you occasion healing without grace? Grace has always been there. We have seemingly entered into a no emphasis region because there's no labor to be able to find what is the emphasis of God. There are no specialists. They are jack of all trades kind of men. So we have few masters. So stay on your lane. Jesus said to them in verse 19, go ye therefore, because you have been chartered, you have been authorized, you have been empowered. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father. It's a comma. It means the teaching ministry is an immersing ministry. He didn't say immerse them in water, which is a separate expression. He said your teaching ministry must produce men who are buried into the character and the authority of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Next verse. This is just a reminder. Teaching them, you know, it goes back to teaching. So it means our whole statement was how to teach the nations. Verse 20 has to do with what to teach the nations. So they are both wisdom verses. What should you teach them? Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. There is a curriculum for the New Testament teacher. It is the things that Jesus has commanded. The things Jesus commanded, Paul expounded. Are you with me? So we have texts. The apostles were only expounders of the original things that Jesus taught. So Jesus taught and he produced 12 dying men. Paul also taught and produced dying men. If what we are teaching is producing a people who are self-preserving, who are seeking their own thing, it means the curriculum has been altered. Are you with me? If we are teaching A plus B equals to 5, then 5 will be 5 across generations. But if we teach A plus B equals to 2, we will not have men of fives. We will have men of twos. One of the reasons why the quality of the Christian expression is very low is that people who teach no longer use the old curriculum. This one has been narrowed and has been watered down, majorly to apprehend things that are earthy and not things that are heavenly. God will help us. I don't want to bring burden into what I'm teaching, because I'm seeing that my burdens are beginning to come in. It's because the Lord weeps. And in this season, as he weeps, he, according to the utterance that he released to Ezekiel, he's saying, I sought for a man. One of the names, the offices of the man that the Lord Jesus is seeking for now is the office of the teacher. I want a teacher among them, one who is standing the gap, stop this tide towards wastage. That's what he's looking for. But certain men must pay the price to be approved, because we have few approved teachers around. His work is living with a lot of enmity. You have a lot of enemies because your truth will reveal their falsehood. But like I said last week, we must take the oath of standing alone. I can't stand in a crowd and be isolated when I stand before my master. It's too great a price. Let me live in isolation here. And when I walk into eternity, I stand in the midst of those who came before me. Paul will say, welcome into our midst. John will say, you died because of why we died. That's what ministry is. It didn't begin with you, so you cannot define it. You have to join an ancient procession. And if you are preaching what they did not preach, it means that you are not numbered in their midst. Contend, contend, contend. The writer of the book of Jude says to us, for the faith that was once for all delivered. It was a total download. So you are not called to download afresh. You are just told to call to unveil what was downloaded. Help us, Father. Help us, Father. Help us, Father. In Jesus' name. So, a few instructions. That a faithful teaching ministry, don't cross it, no. The faithful teaching ministry starts with a conscious, progresses with a consciousness of a sending mandate. You are sent with power and with word. Two, you also need to know that you also need the consciousness of the teaching curriculum, which is what all things, somebody say all things, it means the curriculum must be total. All things whatsoever, it is diverse but it is rounded. All things whatsoever I have commanded you. If you went to a proper church, and I'm saying that, I'm not saying we are the best. I know I have a few teaching deficiencies because I don't have formal Bible teaching education. I didn't go online to copy this script I'm using to teach. I just stayed with the Bible and the Holy Ghost. So I know that it's possible that those who go to Bible school, like Lamdina, we are supposed to, and you see, the burden on your shoulder is greater than my own. Yes. Everybody who has been to any kind of Bible school, the burden on your shoulder to teach the word of God with accuracy is greater. God sent some of us so that we can put pressure on those who go for formal education. I was speaking with one of my friends, a reverend doctor, a few weeks ago. I was sharing with him from scriptures. And I said, Baba, Shebi, you are a reverend doctor. You should know more than me. He said, that in our midst we share that his formal education you don't have. You have education. So we are not the best. We don't know too much. What we are teaching is little of the much. Some people went to school. People like Timo are learning for 4 years. When Timo graduates, if he cannot go beyond this level that he's seeing me teach, God will not hold him guiltless. Because more was given to him. And more will be required of him. Are you with me? This is the body. So, the curriculum must be the same. He must operate in the consciousness of what to teach. Lastly, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 24, we want to see the posture of a teacher. The Bible says the servant of God must not strive. Even in the defense of truth, we don't defend striving. We are not trying to be disagreeable. We are not contentious. We are not looking for who to slap. We can disagree. So you see, I may not have problems with your person. So that if there's a time to greet, a time to help, a time to extend pleasantries or some, you know, peripheral kind of fellowship, I will not deprive you of it because I must not be disagreeable. But I must disagree if you are wrong. To be disagreeable means that you take the baby and the bath water and you throw them out. No, it must not happen. Because I owe everyone, both the heretic and the preacher of truth, the depth of love. So, that must be in place. That way I'm not disagreeable. But in association, you must be careful that there is a way you can corrupt your essence if you fellowship with corrupt communications. Somebody say communications. Communications. If you listen to the wrong people, if you're on tapes, on TV, on verbal, physical communication, it will corrupt your good manners. Right. So the Bible says the servant of the Lord must not strive. Don't go out to fight. But be gentle unto all men. That's the posture of a teacher. You are gentle unto all men, apt to teach, prepared, ready to teach. These are the postures of an accurate teacher. No strife, gentleness, the aptitude to teach, the readiness, the preparation to teach. What's the next one? Patience. It means you know that people cannot download everything in a long time. That's why we encourage messages be recorded so that people can listen. So you go gradually. Next, verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. The Bible didn't say oppose each other, but oppose themselves. That a man started at an accurate position in God, and now he's beginning to bring forth things that are against his earlier conviction. It is in meekness.
is the ability to give a listening ear.
Is that what you understand now?
Well, why not see this way?
Say, no. Okay. Let's approach it this way, because you just want that to help them. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, paraventure, it means sometimes people who oppose themselves don't survive. But you will give them every room for recovery. If you start a fight, you will lose that opportunity. So, if God, paraventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. These are the postures. So we have seen the posture of a faithful teacher. We have seen the progressions of the teachings of a faithful preacher. We have seen the authority of the faithful preacher or faithful teacher. We have seen the curriculum of a faithful minister. So let's pray quietly for 2 minutes. And then I'll round up the whole thing with my third part. It's almost 12:30. Okay. It will give me strength. You just want to ask the Lord to bring you into the things that you have heard. Some of these things we are sharing, you have to listen again and again and again, and then trust God for progressive change. Trust God for progressive change. I just have one more portion of scripture, and then we round up with instructions I just need to read. So this will be the shortest aspect of this teaching. The faithful teacher of the word. Oh Lord, bring us in. Bring us in. Bring us in. Let the gates be open. Let your people be admitted into that place. Omeno kosia kaparavon shakata sika bahatelo kozate makaba mento setus kaito veradusa brantos kepara vaseto limaka bisconte visaito kabano mente kababre kesufa hane kushia kapatos kemate. Oh, bake kovena maskante basuta kabai kofena teliata. Draw me in. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. So we take a song and then we read from Luke chapter 1, and then we're on our way home.
I believe that you've been blessed by God's word from the mouth of His choice servant, the Reverend Tolu Alugu Agboola. To get more of this nourishment for your spirit, you can follow us on social media at HWCN Global on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Mixlr, and Telegram. You can also follow all our services live on any of these social media platforms. Keep doing the word. Keep being a fair worshiper. God bless you.